it was an interesting time because I saw things that I ordinarily probably wouldn't have seen when Grandma and Grandpa would come over and visit, but she just felt so useless at times and just felt like she wasn't doing any good. And I always tried to encourage her, but Grandma this and Grandma that, you know, and I suppose it was a time of life. Grandpa was gone and so on and so forth. And just things were different and much different. But I just want to encourage you today. If there's anybody in this place today, you're an elder and you're wondering what good are you, I'll tell you what good you are. You're a pillar in this church. This church can't stand without you. Your prayers are vital to this church. I want to tell you from a middle-aged standpoint, it means a lot to me to bring my young adult children and my adolescent child into this church and see you elder saints, you gray-headed saints. The Bible says that we are to stand in the presence of a hoary head. Did you know that? So if we were really being biblical about it, every time an elder stood and came into this place, we should stand. I mean, that's what the Bible says, to give honor. To see you pray, to see you intercede, to have you to pray for me and my own means the world to me. I love to listen to an older person pray. A person who's battle-tested, a person who's been through the fire, the furnace of affliction, who knows how to get a hold of God. There's no doubt that they know who Jesus is. I want to thank God for you today. Let's give our elders a hand. Amen. 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 Thank God for you. And I love you middle-aged people too. But I think sometimes in that time of life, you're trying to figure things out. You're trying to figure out, what is God doing with me? I'm so young. I just want to assure you, God's using you. And at that later stage of life, when we can't do as much as we used to be able to, just because of physical limitations, doesn't mean we can't do something different, something new, have a different impact in the kingdom of God. You are vital. You're important. I'm so thankful for the body of Christ. Amen. That God works through. Revelation chapter 10 and verse 1. John writing said, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hands a little book, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Time no longer." We want to talk for as long as the Lord would have us to on the topic of eternity. Eternity. Father, I pray today that you would settle our spirits. Help me not to worry about what I have to do after service or what work's going to be like tomorrow. Lord Jesus, or what the week holds, or what I've been through, or what I'm going through, or Lord, the bills I can't pay, or the groceries I don't have to eat. Lord, help us to set every bit of that aside right now. Lord, help us to hear the word of the Lord. Help us to hear the voice of the Lord. God, make our hearts as good ground that we might receive the word and it might bring forth fruit. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As you're seated, why don't you turn and shake your neighbor's hand and say this to them. Eternity. 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 Whenever we describe the painfully long process of something. It could be waiting for dinner to get ready. Oh, this is just taking an eternity. We're waiting on someone to get home so we can go, maybe go to the store or go have fun, or it's just taking forever. It's taking eternity. We use those words to describe a few minute wait past what we expected, a few hour wait. Maybe it's taken a couple days or a couple weeks for something together come together, and we use the euphemism that it's taking an eternity. It's taking forever. We like to emphasize that word, right? Forever for it to come to pass. Those times pale in comparison to the time when the angel is going to stand with one foot upon the earth and one foot upon the sea, raise his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, the time will be no more. I would think it would be safe in saying it's hard for us to really comprehend and fathom the concept of existing without time. Right now, it is 2:37. And time is ticking. Every minute that passes, every hour that passes, we grow older. Hopefully, we grow wiser. But we are on a march toward eternity. We're not really that far away from eternity, my friend. David said that our life is but a hand's breadth. Everybody raise your hand up and look at your hand. Don't look at mine, but look at yours. Put it in front of your face and let's look at our hand. Mine might be 4 inches wide. It might be 5 at the knuckles. I'm not sure. I've never really measured it. But the psalmist said that is how far you are away from eternity. I want to ask us a question. What are you doing to prepare for eternity? Are you ready for eternity? Are you ready to meet the Lord in eternity? Do we think about eternity? I'm not talking about thinking about dying. I wouldn't expect us to get up today and think, oh my word, look at the sunshine and listen to the birds. Today would just be a wonderful day to die. Most people don't do things like that. And if you do, maybe we ought to talk and refocus your vision, because Jesus came to give us life and that more abundantly. But I want to tell you what, Jesus talked more about hell than he talked about heaven. Jesus talked about eternity. Jesus tried to focus our attention on eternity because our lives matter. How we live our lives this side of eternity matters. Amen? What we say matters. Did you realize Jesus said that we are going to be judged by every idle word that we say? Every action, every thought, every deed, and it's not just going to be a cursory review of our life, my friend, because I truly believe, according to the scripture, he's going to get down to the motives. What are we doing to prepare for eternity? But I believe it is difficult for us to truly grasp the concept of existing without time, existing without thinking, oh my word, I've got to go by Walmart after church. Can anybody identify with being here on a Thursday night, groceries are running low, you got to have milk, you got to have diapers, whatever it may be, and you just happen to be closer to Walmart when you come to church than are wherever you live, so I got to go to church, need to fellowship afterward, I need to go to Walmart, but I got to get home, I got to get in bed in time, because I at least got to get a few hours sleep, because I got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, because I got to be to work by 5:30. It's exhausting talking about it, isn't it? But there's coming a day when none of that will come into play, because time will be no more. There is a scripture in the Word of God that says that as a tree falleth, so shall it lie. My friend, I want to tell somebody today, be careful where your roots are. Be careful what you are feeding yourself. Be careful what you are becoming, because where you fall, the Bible says you're going to lie. What are you trying to say? When I breathe my last breath, my friend, that's it. That's the end of the road. My preparations are over, and my eternity has begun. I do believe it's hard for us to fathom the extent, not the time, because there is no time in eternity. There will be no sun. There will be no moon. Jesus Christ will be the light of that great city. Jesus Christ will be the light by which we exist. So there will be no time. But the concept of timelessness, I believe, is very difficult for this finite mind to understand and grasp and perhaps even get an inkling of what it's like. But I do believe the Lord has sent me here to tell somebody specifically, you need to start paying attention to what you're doing down here, my friend, because we're just a hand's breadth away from forever. God's been talking to you. God's been speaking to you, and you hadn't been listening very well. Let's hold our hand up again, if you will. We're that close to eternity. My prayer right now for every one of us is when we're washing dishes, or we're typing on the keyboard, or we're cutting up an onion and we're making soup, or maybe we're changing a baby's diaper, or I don't know what you might be doing during your day, but the next time I look at your hand, my prayer for you is to think, you know what? That's as far as I am from eternity. That's as far as I am forever. In one person's attempt to try and illustrate the length of eternity, existing without time. And what's so important about existing without time, Brother Pritt, is because the Bible teaches us there's either a heaven I'm going to live in or there's a hell that I'm going to go to. And one day that hell is going to be cast into a lake of fire, and it's going to burn forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. I sound like it when we repeat courses, don't I? Forever and forever and forever. Without end, without time, eternity. They tried to illustrate the point of the concept of timelessness. And they said if the earth, the size of the earth, you had a sphere in the universe, the size of the earth, made of stainless steel, which we know is a hardened steel. It's not the hardest steel, but it's a harder steel. And they said every 1,000 years, every millennium, a sparrow came, a bird came and just brushed against this stainless steel ball the size of the earth. And it happened every 1,000 years. And just perchance that it would take a little bit off with the friction every 1,000 years. By the time that sphere the size of the earth had dwindled down to nothing, eternity would just have begun. God's trying to get somebody ready for eternity. I never considered the poignancy of this message when I first got it together, but I was getting ready this morning and thought of the tragic news we received just this past week of an acquaintance of ours. I can't say he was a good friend of ours, but someone that I and my family have been acquainted with for years was in a tragic automobile accident in Wayne County and died, and another person had been involved and died, and the individual that we knew was 56 years old. Now, back when I was Ethan's age, 56 was pretty old. Now it's pretty young, because I'm going to be 52 in January. But relatively speaking, that's just too young to die. In God's eyes, any age is too young to die, because he said, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. Those who don't repent, those who die the death and never have the opportunity again to be saved. But the irony of this Sister Julia, is this man was an undertaker. He buried my grandma. He buried my mom. He buried my dad. And now, brother, he's got to have someone to bury him. The undertaker needs an undertaker. I come to tell somebody today, we're not promised tomorrow. God's been talking to you. You need to do what the Holy Ghost has talked to you. Brother Mark, you were in the Holy Ghost. The reason why some people's lives are not changing in this church and they're not going any further is because you are not obeying God. God is not going to answer your prayer and fix the things you think needs fixed until you repent and you do what God has told you to do. Thus saith the Lord. He spoke that to me right before service downstairs and you got up and confirmed it. It is the truth. We can pray and we can cry and we can weep all we want to, but as long as we're walking in disobedience, God is not going to change something that we are breaking. Eternity. It's coming for all of us. Are you ready? Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. It's time to repent. It's time to do what God has been imploring us to do. It's time to get right with God. It's time to cast off hidden works of darkness and to seek the face of God, my friend. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Amen? Bible says, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as in the provocation where they tempted and tested and proved God for 40 years. Every time they heard the voice of God, they hardened their heart. The Bible says, he who is often reproved and hardens his neck shall suddenly fall into destruction, and that without remedy. Eternity. Timelessness. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 says, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. Folks, sometimes life just isn't fair, is it? The reason why I say this, because we're going to go on and read about Lazarus, and we're going to read about the beggar, and we're going to see what happened to them. But sometimes we can be in a situation, and we can be doing the right thing. We can be walking with God, we can be obeying his word, and everything in life is falling apart around us. We have need, we have situation, it seems like God's not listening, but I want to tell you something, God is paying attention to you, my friend. God's paying attention to the Lazaruses, and God's paying attention to the rich man. And the next time you're tempted to say life's not fair, think of it this way, if life were fair, all of us would be in hell right now. If we all got what we deserved, if God was fair with all of us, every one of us would be burning right now in a devil's hell. So thank God, life's not fair. But sometimes we can look around us and we can say, God, I've done this and God, I've done that. But Lord, this is happening and that's happening. I've come to tell somebody, God knows where you're at. God's got your timing. God's got what he's going to do in your life. And God's going to take care of it when he wants and how it pleases him. Our job is to hold on and let God do what he wants to do. Bible says, verse 21, and desiring to be fed of the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. To add insult to injury, here is a man that couldn't feed himself. Here is a man that the dogs came and licked on his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. I just wonder if we got a picture, if Jesus pulled back and let us see the scenario, but didn't tell us the situation. And didn't tell us the end result, but said, who do you think was living right and who do you think made it to heaven? I wonder what our judgment would be without knowing the end of the story. But the Bible says that the rich man, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Notice the implication of the scripture. The beggar died. He was carried off into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died, and immediately he was in hell, lifting up his eyes, being in torment. There is no purgatory. According to Jesus and His gospel, there is no purgatory. There is no place that the dead go and the saints pray them out. Not according to Jesus. And being in torment, Lazarus, he sees Abraham afar off. Listen to what Jesus is saying. They're fully conscious. You ever heard the scripture where their worm dieth not? It's not a worm crawling through the ground. It's their conscience Jesus is referring to. Study it out. They are fully conscious and aware of where they are and where they came from, but they can't get back. And he saw Lazarus afar off, and he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Just give me. I'm not asking for a bottle. I'm not asking for 10 ounces. I'm just asking for a drop. I'm just asking for a drop. I'm not asking for a bottle, but I'm asking for a drop. Just give me a drop. Just give me a drop. I'm telling you what, we sit in this house week after week after week, and the Holy Ghost water flows, and we resist the Holy Ghost. We resist what Jesus has told us to do, and the water's flowing. The water's flowing. And we resist, and we harden our hearts, and we harden our necks against what God has asked us and told us to do. The water's flowing. And the old man, the rich man, he said, "Just give me a drop. Just give me a drop. Oh, just give me a drop. Oh, just give me a drop. Just give me a drop. Anybody want a drop today? Anybody want the Holy Ghost today? Anybody want rivers of living water to touch your life today?" Oh, I read about a man. He wished he could have went back, but he said, "I know I can't. Can I just have a drop?" There will be people who sat in churches who resisted the Holy Ghost, who knew what God wanted them to do, and who hardened their neck, and they're going to end up in eternity, and they're going to say, "God, if I could just have a drop, it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late." He said, "I'm tormented. Tormented. You're not going to be partying with your friends in hell. I don't care what your buddies say. I've heard it declared some people want to go to hell because they want to party with their friends. They're believing a lie. My Bible tells me that rich man, he had it all." Be careful who you're jealous of, saint of God. And it's easy to do. It's easy. When you're giving your all and you're pouring your heart out, and you're serving God and you're living for God, it's easy to look at the person who looks like they're just living like the devil, man. And they got everything around them, and they got all kinds of stuff, and they drive a nice car, and it seems like they're never sick, and their babies are never sick, and they live in nice houses, and they wear nice clothes, and they're just like the rich man. Seems like nothing ever touches them. But I'm telling you what, I read of a psalm where a man had a problem with that. He said, "I almost slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, but he said, oh, and then I went to the house of God." That's why it's important to come to the house of God, because when he came to the house of God, his perspective was straightened out. He saw, you know what he saw in the house of God? He said, "And then I saw their end." What was in the house of God back then? Did they have drama teams back then? No. Not criticizing drama teams. Did they have words on the screen that like we do, which we really appreciate, and I love them. Did they have all that kind of stuff and all the technology we have? No. What did they have? They had blood sacrifice. There was death in the house of God. If you think about it, death prevailed in the house of God, in the tabernacle, in the temple. Why? Because they were constantly bringing their sacrifices. Something was constantly dying there. You know what? I think maybe we could learn from that. Yeah. Something ought to be dying every time I come to the house of God. You know, the pastor talked about this altar being our best friend. This is the place of death. This is where I come to die to myself. This is where it comes. Even when we hear messages like this and they grind on us and they hurt and they make us think and they make us think about ourselves and just a bunch of stuff and we know we need to do right and we're struggling with, this is the place to come and talk to God. But he said, I saw their end. Death. Death is coming to them, he said. And it helped me. Verse 25 said, but Abraham said, son, remember. Isn't it interesting? He called him son. He was a son of Abraham. And he was burning in hell. There will be people in hell who cast the devils out. There will be people in the lake of fire who did many marvelous works in the name of Jesus. There will be people in hell who healed the sick and raised the dead. There will be people in hell who came to church every week. But the indictment of Jesus Christ against them will be, he said, I never knew you. You never allowed me to know you. Oh, you knew me. You could call on my name. You looked the part. You acted the part. You smelled the part. You sang the part. You preached the part. You taught the part. You were at church every week. But I never knew you. You never allowed me to come into your life and be intimate with you. You never allowed me to control your life. You see, all this is good and it's proper and it's necessary and I'm not going to stop doing any of it. Why? Because it is the Word of God. But the main thing, as Brother Tenney used to say, is to keep the main thing. The main thing, and what's the main thing, is to know Jesus Christ and Him be Lord of my life and to know me. That's the main thing. That's the main driver. So here's this son of Abraham. He said, remember that thou in thy lifetime receive thy good things. And likewise, Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted. And thou art tormented. I want to say to those who lack comfort. Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You're struggling. You're doing your best to do the right thing. You're doing your best to live for God, and it seems like nothing works out. You hear that if you do this, that, and the other, God's going to do thus and so. Yes, He does, and yes, He will in His good time. And if it's not good for you, He won't do it. Right. If it's going to send you to a devil's hell and He doesn't do it for you, you ought to say, thank God. There are prayers that God just shut the door on and said, no, Darren, it's not going to happen. And years later, I found out that if God would have answered our prayer, we would have been in a very precarious position. Not that we would have done anything wrong, but we would have been in a bad situation. You learn to look at things like that and you say, oh, thank God. Thou art tormented. And beside all this, in spite of everything I just told you, beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. You notice, there was a chasm, but they were still in proximity of each other. They were close enough to have a conversation. I don't know how close that was. Jesus didn't tell us, but they had a conversation. For all you hipsters out there, a combo. They had a combo. He said, well, then he said, I pray thee, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren. Go tell them that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, then they will repent. He said, no. They're not going to hear Moses and the prophets. Neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Folks, sometimes we're wanting lightning and thunder from heaven and God to write it in the sky. And God saying, I've told you, and 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 I've told you. I like what Bishop Ellis said one time during a training session. He said, the altar call is not going to change. What did he mean by that? God spoke at once. That's what he meant. He might remind you, but he's not going to change his mind. So the rich man was in quite a position. The rich man was in a place that perhaps he never thought he would be. Or perhaps maybe he didn't think it would come as soon as he thought it would. Or maybe he thought, I don't know, because of his status in life, that surely I'm going to make it. Friend, we live in a world where everyone makes it to heaven. I have sat in funerals and cringed at the sayings and the things I have heard about people, knowing the lifestyles that they lived, and they were inevitably, if not by a preacher, but by a loved one, put into the portals of heaven. I do not stand and judge anyone of my own volition and my own free will and my own philosophy, my friend, but I am standing and I am proclaiming the word of God to you. Not everyone that says unto him, Lord, Lord, is going to make it into heaven. Much less those who deny him, blaspheme him, break his commands, and do not love him. But hell's not the eternal destination of those who reject the gospel. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10 tells us, says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever, for eternity. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. We're talking about the time when mankind will stand before God and be judged out of the books and out of the book of life. The Lord that day will not be a Savior wooing us with his Spirit. But it will be at that time when the angel has said there will be no more time. It will be in that day when we have to stand before God and give an account of things done in our body, both good and bad. And I fear in this day and age, we don't think about that day as much as we should. We don't think about eternity as much as we should. We don't think about our actions and our words as much as we should. We don't think about our influence as much as we should. And we sure don't think about our relationship with God on a daily basis as much as we should. But I've come to remind us today, my friend, it matters. It matters how we live, because it will determine how we die. Amen. That judge is going to be so dreadful that the heaven and the earth are going to flee, and there will be no place found for them. How can a loving God cast me into hell? A loving God won't cast you into hell, my friend. The word of God specifically says that evil will slay the wicked. If I go to hell, I go to hell of my own free will and my own free choice. I go to hell one decision at a time. I go to hell one quenching of the Holy Ghost at a time. I go to hell one hardening of my neck one at a time. I go to hell one closing of my ears to when the Spirit is trying to talk to me, one closing of my ear at a time. I go to hell one rejection of the Holy Ghost call after call after call after call, my friend. A loving God is not going to send us to hell. But as I said, hell is not the final abode of the dead, because death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. Verse 12 says, and I saw the dead, small and great. I saw the janitors. I saw the bookkeepers. I saw the presidents. I saw the vice regents. I saw the ambassadors. I saw the housewife. I saw the construction worker. I saw the office worker. I saw the customs and trade person. I saw the, and I'm not talking about you guys in specific, you know what I'm talking about. I saw the carpenters. I saw the welders. I saw everybody standing before God. I saw the army generals. I saw the privates. I saw the corporals. I saw the lieutenants. I saw the seamen, I saw the airmen, I saw them all standing before God. Everyone standing before God. It's going to happen. I've come to remind us today, it's going to happen. See, sometimes the reason why we can sit in a service like this, man, we become a little uneasy, but we can brush it off. Whew, shake ourselves. Oh boy. That way it doesn't feel too bad. Why can we? Because we're still in the flesh. I can still touch somebody. I can still be with my brothers, and even though I know I'm not living right, I can still rub my shoulders with them. You know, not doing what God wants me to do, but at least I can come in and sit down by Stephen and hey man, how you doing? How about those calves? What do you think about them this year? You know, Holy Ghost talking to me and I'm ignoring him. Holy Ghost sitting here. Hey Darren. Hey Stephen, how you doing today? Hey Darren, you need to do this. I told you you need to go there and do this and do that and any other. Hey man. Buddy, I think your tribe's going to do next year, huh? Hey, Darren, you're still not fulfilling your call in me.
What do you think about Baker Mayfield?
I mean, we really get desperate if we want to, you know, really ignore the Holy Ghost. We bring the big one out. What do you think about Baker Mayfield, man? What do you think about the suspension last week, huh? You think Garrett was justified in that? And we can shake off the conviction of the Holy Ghost we feel in a service like this, in a sermon like this. Why? Because we're still in the flesh. We're still connected. But folks, I've walked past too many caskets to not know there will come a day when I breathe my last breath. There will come a day when you see your last sunrise or your last sunset or you say goodbye to your family for the last time. There will come a day, my friend. Oh, come on, brother. I know that. I know that. Yeah, I know we know that. And I think we're too familiar with it. We can become too familiar with walking in this flesh that we forget one day. I raise your hand. Look at your hand, please. I ask you. One day. I'm going to be there. Just a hand's breadth away. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written into their books. And please leave this one up for just for a minute, okay? Thank you. According to their works.
If I could underline that, I would. Circle that one.
Well, brother, I'm not saved by works. I'm saved by grace through faith in Christ. I'll agree. But if you're living like the devil, you don't know Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, you're not going to heaven. Your works matter. Your works testify to your relationship with Jesus Christ. They don't save you, per se, as in justifying your soul and paying the penalty for it. But they're an indicator of how well you know Him. And how well He knows you. And I'm not just talking about power gifts. I'm not talking about casting out devils. That's good. I'm not talking about preaching sermons like I'm doing today. That's good. I'm not talking about knocking on doors. That's good. But Jesus recorded, He's going to tell people, when I was in prison, you didn't visit me. When I was sick, you didn't visit me. When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I didn't have any clothes, you never brought me a shirt. Nothing. Those people are going to be like, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you in prison? When did we see you sick? When did we see you without clothes? And He said, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. According to their works. That's why it's so important. God, help us all to be in the Word of God. Because if I'm going to be judged out of this book, friend, we're not going to have Google. He's not going to say, Darren, why didn't you do thus and so? Me, look at him like, what? You mean that's in there? Yeah. Well, let me Google it, Lord. No. Not happening. According to those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea, verse 13, gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Can you see how damnable the modern day grace gospel is when it tells me I am saved by grace through faith and I cannot be lost no matter what I do? And my works don't save me, my friend. Again, I'm not here preaching to you what you do pays the penalty for your sin. Doesn't happen. It's the blood and only the blood. But our works are an indication of our relationship with Him. If I truly know Him, John said, I'm not going to continue in habitual sin. Am I going to struggle? Go read Romans chapter 7. We're going to struggle. John didn't say, if we sin. He said, if we confess our sin, we're going to sin. We're going to fall. But we have to acknowledge our sin to Him. We have to agree with Him that we are sinners. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. Verse 14. So hell is not the eternal abode of the wicked dead, but they will be cast into a lake of fire. And it is the second death. And in the last verse we're reading, and it says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, the scripture tells us that those who receive the mark of the beast and those who worship Him are going to be tormented in fire and brimstone. And the Bible says that their smoke ascendeth up forever and ever. And you know, the Bible says that they're going to be tormented forever and ever. Where? In the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb. Why? I thought the lake of fire was separation from God. It is. But read your Bible. It is very clear that they will be tormented. The lost will be tormented in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb in fire and brimstone forever. In the presence of. I'm in your presence right now. We're in the same proximity. What are you trying to say, Brother Pritt? Well, I'll tell you this. I used to have this imagination of heaven and hell. Heaven's up here and hell's down here somewhere. Because that's the picture I always got from people preaching. Hell's up here. Heaven's up here and hell's down here somewhere. But then again, I got to reading the Word of God. Pastor, I read that and I'm like, now, wait a minute. It says those who receive the mark and worship the beast are going to be tormented in the presence of. We're in the same presence right now. When I go home, you live over that way, right? You're in North Homestead somewhere? Huh? Where do you all live? Where do you live? Columbia State. It's over that way, all right? From here? Okay, Mark, help me out. Mark, I'm just teasing. I love you. I'm just teasing. So you're going to go up this way, and we're going to go down that way. Always like I thought heaven and hell were. I won't say which one I think is which, but anyway. Heaven's that way? Yeah, okay. You live in heaven, I live in... Anyway. Sometimes I wonder living down there. Anyway, we're going to be separate. But right now, we're in the presence of each other, aren't we? Friend, I'm telling you what. I do believe the Word of God is implicating that the lost, and they're not going to be in heaven, but I do believe they're going to be in close proximity to the presence of God. Because the Bible does say our God is what? He is a consuming fire. What greater eternal torment would it be to be able to look over and to know that that's what I could have had? But because of my pride, I chose not to be there. And the reason why I say that is because our closing scripture, and if our musicians would come, our closing scripture says this in Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 24. I offer you another scripture because I don't believe in reading a verse and coming to a conclusion upon one verse. But the Bible does say, let in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Isaiah 66 verse 22 says, for as the new heaven and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. This is where I'm... You remember Jesus talked about where their worm dieth not? Jesus was talking about eternity, eternal torment. Isaiah 66 says, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring to all flesh. Rich man died, he could look over, see Lazarus. Isaiah's telling me, this is all said and done. Those who have rejected the Lord, according to the word of the Lord, they're going to be able to be seen. I know that goes against a lot of people's teaching I've heard over the years, but I'm that's the word of God. They'll be tormented where? In the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb. What I read in Scripture, the lake of fire is a lot closer to heaven than we ever believe. Friend, I don't want to spend eternity, and I don't want you to spend eternity looking into glory and eternal torment. Hear me now. Looking into glory and eternal torment, just wanting a drop of water. There's rivers flowing in this place right now. There's rivers of living water flowing in this house right now. It's no coincidence that in Revelation, Jesus said, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that is thirsty come. And what? And take of the water of life freely. This altar's open right now. Jesus is offering living waters. He would that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He would that all men repent. Lord, just give me a drop, Lord. Just give me a drop. No, he wants to give you rivers of living water in Jesus' name. We're going to let them sing. We're going to let them play. Let them worship. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. He's calling today. He's calling in Jesus' name.
Oh,
raise our hands and receive this word into our spirits. I know we've all prayed. I know we've received it. But Lord, I take this word into my spirit. Lord, I'm asking God that you would not let it leave. Lord, help me to not get distracted, and help us to not get distracted by the cares of this life and the busyness of the day and forget your calling today. Lord, you've called us for a specific reason to arouse us out of our sleep, out of our slumber, out of the norm, God. Because, Lord, it is true, we're not long for eternity, God, but, Lord, that's a good thing. If we're living for you, that's a positive thing. And I just pray today, let it find lodging place in our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say one more thing, if we could. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. And thank you for that song we sang. I don't remember hearing that song in a long time. I'll say it that way. We could have sang it last week, and I forgot about it, but I don't remember hearing it for a while. I guess they say, you know, the older you get, but it's happening. But I just want to say one more thing. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor after this. You know, God doesn't send us these types of messages for us to get up tomorrow morning and the rest of this week and be afraid of dying, okay, or afraid of eternity, or, oh, my word, am I? No. It's kind of like this. Those of us who've had kids, it's time to go. We're getting ready to go, and you young people can test to this. You're oversleeping, and it's time to get ready, right? It's time to get up. You're getting ready to leave, okay? You got a time you're going to leave. You're getting ready. Mom and Dad comes in. They flip the lights on. I like to open the blinds, let all that natural light in, and shake and wake and arouse you up, right, and say, it's time to get ready. We've got to go. That's what the Holy Ghost did today. He didn't come here to condemn anybody. He didn't come here to frighten anybody. I do believe he came here to reinstate the fear of God in our lives. Amen. But he came to shake us and to awaken us for us to get the slumber and the sleep out of our eyes. And he said, children, get ready because it's almost time to go. Amen. Amen.
Everybody say, I'm a minister. Amen. God has filled you with his spirit. God has baptized you in his name. He has given you a ministry, and that is to reach and to save that which is lost. Amen. One of the indictments that's going to be against us when we get to heaven is, who has following me? Who have I shared the gospel with? What have I brought into the kingdom of God? He's going to point his finger at you and said, where's your results? So this week, this message today is a reminder of us that there are lost people in our lives. And I'm going to go to an eternity one day and have to face the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and said, who have I brought with me? Amen. We need to re-examine our lives today. Just look around. Who's in this house that needs God? Amen. We are ministers. Amen. You can talk to somebody this week and you can baptize them in Jesus' name. You can pray for somebody and you can see God fill them with the Holy Ghost. Amen. We need to stop worrying, waiting till you bring them to church and the pastor lay his hand on them and God fill them with the Holy Ghost. God saved you. He gave you the same Holy Ghost as he gave me. Amen. But he did put us all under authority of a man of God. And if you'll listen and obey the man of God today, God will use you. And this week, you can pray somebody through to the Holy Ghost in Walmart. Amen. This week, on your job, you can lay hands on somebody and they can be healed instantly because the Holy Ghost that's in you is the same Holy Ghost that's in me. Amen. God wants to use you, and you need to realize that today because there's an eternity that is waiting on that person that is lost, and you're their key to the kingdom of God. Let's go out this week and let's spread the gospel. And if you can't do that, pray. Get your knees worn out in prayer for souls and for God to bring disciples into the kingdom of God. Amen. We can do something to change our world. Amen. And God has saved you for that reason. Not to come in here and warm the pew. Amen. He saved you to bring somebody with you. Amen. The message was go. Go reach the lost. That's what he wants you to do. Go out, tell somebody about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Give them your testimony. God bless you. Amen. Let's go out and win this world in Jesus' name.